If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the divine love of the one beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So this evening, our seminar topic is, We Are God's Song of Love, Singing to All of Creation. We are God's Song of Love, Singing to All of Creation. I'll bet you never put that on your resume. I'm God's song of love, singing to all of creation. So, if you're ready to begin our journey this evening, just relax, take a deep breath, and know that the time is now, and that you're here. And that's enough. It's now. And you're here. And the beat goes on. So take another deep breath. And call yourself forward as that divine song of love that has been sung from the very instant that song arose in the heart of God and ushered forth as that sound frequency of love that found you extending that love and that song of love throughout the time, space, and dimensional continuum into that precious envelope of sound that is your physical envelope, your presentation, your gifting into time, space. And just get a sense of that sacredness. Know it. Intend it. Embrace of it. Even if you don't quite remember it. Pretend like you did. Pretend like you do. And we ask our spiritual upline this evening through the Office of the Christ and the Order of Melchizedek, and those who we stand in divine sponsorship to do God's work in this world. And we ask that our particular song of love, our particular harmonic resonance, if it could be tuned up tonight for us, get those chakras, which are like so many holes in a flute, if they could be brought to the divine lips, so that the Lord, let's say, like Krishna, could put the flute of our divine instrument to his lips and blow the sweetest breath through the flute of our beings, putting forth the most beautiful melodic sounds through our life, through our minds, through our whole resonant field. We ask that this could be done for each person listening according to their highest rate of vibration, their free will consent, and their soul's contract at this time upon this earth. We ask that whatever could be cleared, whatever dissonance or clutter or clogging that interferes with this flute-like purity, if it could be dissolved through grace, We would so appreciate that. And we ask that in divine love, as we offer ourselves to this time together. I, as an instrument, to bring forward this transmission, and those of you to co-participate as we examine together our life in terms of sound, sacred music. So the quintessential truth, beloved, of your true divine identity is that you are God's song of love, singing throughout and to all of creation. And that song goes forth unendingly, whether or not you are aware of it. Regardless of the storms and tornadoes of human thought and emotion, beyond all of that, and untouched by anything within this temporary dream of separation, you remain the living word, the singing word of the one beloved. Know that you are the one beloved, forever and ever singing your song of love. You know, everything in existence is a manifestation of sound. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. And that's us. We are the Word that has become flesh in time and space. So every form, including yours and mine, resonates a specific frequency. Now think about it. The heart, the spiritual heart, is a sound mandala. It's a template that's very specific to each person. I've actually seen these. I've seen my own, and I've been allowed to see that of a few other people upon the inner planes, and it looks like a large disc. It's encoded with your specific heart song, let's put it that way, your particular tapestry of sonar beauty. It's the best and the most beautiful presentation of your soul's essence or soul signature. And it contains in each given lifetime that particular melodic refrain that you are focusing on, much like a particular musician in a large orchestra. Let's say each lifetime you play a different instrument and perhaps a different melodic refrain. You are also, as the high self, as your divine self, the conductor of this orchestra. Each of the different players, musicians in the orchestra, are like episodes or life appearances into time and space where you have participated in creating this overall symphony. And so in time, you've played all the instruments and all of the notes and all of the melodic refrains for a particular, let's say, era and universal presentation. We are now in a love wisdom universe that is moving into heart coherency, albeit quite dramatically in some cases, and, you know, it's taken a few to quite a few times around the block, so to speak, to catch up to speed. But actually, we are all moving now steadily into this higher octave of the earth. And we're just about ready to reach a crescendo in that process, which has found the beat accelerating. So it's like you're hearing a dramatic building prior to that crescendo that will bring us into that final chord, which will represent the first note of the new song and symphony that we will be singing and resonating. This is replicated in the world at this time by what seems to be an acceleration of events and dramatic outpicturings as the last little vestiges of dissonance are surfacing and being cleared to make way for a new sound tapestry to be laid forth. And it is proceeding, regardless of what you may hear, very well. All is well. Everything is exactly in tempo at this time. So we are quite literally the Word made manifest, that living Word of God. And that living Word is not a static thing in the sense that it is a statement that keeps getting repeated. It's a creative Word in the sense that it is continually replicating more beautiful and more perfect manifestations of creative intelligence. So it's intelligent in the sense that it is the moving of that intelligent quotient that is within each one of us into the Word that will embody this particular universe, which is, I am that I am. In Hebrew, Eheya Asher, Eheya. Or, quite simply, I am I. And that particular resonant tone is being stated again and again through every atom of our being, through every movement of our awareness. It is the statement of identity in the highest sense as the absolute, all that is. And that absolute, all that is known simply as love. And that vibration of love, which sounds, it doesn't have the full impact in the English language, but it carries within it the whole body of, let's say, the whole entire packet that is then downloaded into every single quark of the quantum field of unlimited potentiality in which we live and move and have our being. So we are the song of God, or in Sanskrit, the Bhagavad Gita. That's what that means, the song of God. So here is the place where quantum physics, metaphysics, and music meet, agree, and merge into one factual synthesis. Now, most of you, I think, are probably aware of the research regarding the effects of sound upon malleable substances such as water, sand, salt, and so forth, that has been explored to some extent by quite a few pioneers. This overall science has been called cymatics, C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S. Cymatics. And pioneering research is being done today by Dr. Emoto. I think you probably have seen the pictures of his frozen water samples that have demonstrated the effects of words and even silent intent upon water, and how thoughts of love and gratitude have produced the most beautiful and perfect formations, as did the name of Christ. So, I've also known other researchers such as Daniel Winter, Greg Braden, Jonathan and Andy Goldman, James Twyman, Tom Kenyon, Junvalo Melchizedek, J.J. and Desiree Hertak, the Heart Math Institute, and those are just a few of the ones I can think of, that are involved in studying some facet of the effects of sound and sacred geometry, and what sound produces when it is intoned with loving intention. It's been shown that heart coherency seems to be the major key to producing the most perfect phi ratio, or the sounds and sacred energy formations that replicate the divine perfection. Now, what's exciting to me is that this is the medicine of the future that we're beginning to see come in to our world now. The healing and total regeneration of both the mind and body can be accomplished by understanding and applying the correct remedial tones and color rays wherever dissonance is observed, or ill health, which would be a form of dissonance. So this is science that's familiar to me right off of our mothership. We apply the science of sound frequencies and the whole light spectrum, for example, to grow and replicate our food, to restore health and vitality, and for many other purposes. In fact, if you find yourself not feeling particularly tuned up and well these days, I suggest that you ask to be taken aboard one of Ashtar's ships in the night travel and ask to have your energy body worked with, or whatever it would take to tune you up. I do that on most evenings now because I'm really in need of a tune-up almost every day. It gets to be rocking and rolling down here in terms of vibration. So make use of the resources that you have available. Gradually, you know, these advanced methods of food cultivation and free energy and healing methods that we of other worlds have been using for many years, and also upon our spacecraft, these are going to be shared increasingly more and more with the Earth. Probably more so after the dimensional shift course and the corresponding raising of consciousness into one more loving. Probably that is going to have to happen before these really powerful secrets, actually of creation itself, can be entrusted to humanity. We still have a lot of rough edges in the human state that need to be softened considerably before this very powerful awareness is broadly shared. So this new science of living light and sound will replace many of our current medical practices and even the methods of agricultural production. Yet, you know what? Even now, there are some that have already begun to utilize a few of these practices of healing through sound and color. For example, there's some farmers who have found that plants respond quite well to certain kinds of music, and they grow faster and produce more abundant crops. Cows also respond to music by producing more milk, and chickens by laying more eggs. It's just, you know, the most simple example. And it seems that everything in creation not only produces its own specific sound, but also responds positively to harmonious sounds. So, sound, beautiful harmonious sound, played with pure intent, builds, sustains, constructs, heals, and nourishes. You could think of sound frequencies as literally food and medicine. And sounds also that are dissonant or harsh and are sometimes played in a drunken or drugged stupor or unconsciously can actually create illness and destroy the integrity of the subtle energy bodies. So discernment needs to be experienced, I think, by really observing how you feel when you listen to certain kinds of music. You'll notice that certain kinds of music focuses your energy in the lower chakras and gives rise to some of the baser, lower states of being. Other music will tend to resonate more in the higher chakras and will bring you more into a sense of exaltation or inspiration. Some even is so beautiful, it gives you shivers, you know. Experiment and see what really nourishes and feeds you energetically. I think it's very important for those on a conscious spiritual path to pay attention to the kinds of music that one listens to, just as you pay attention to the quality of food. You know, sound, again, should be regarded as part of your nutritional intake each day. That also applies to the sounds you speak. Think about it. In this lifetime, each sound that you speak goes into your personal universe that you wear as a sound bath, let's say a resonating sound chamber, okay? That would be your auric field that contains the thoughts, the words, the expressions, the overall attitudes, moods, the areas of study and focus, the things that you ingest, whether it's sound or food or people in your life, the energies and the auras and the things that you interact with. All of that goes into creating the sound bath or the resonating sound chamber in which you live all the time. You wear it in your energy field. People who can see clairvoyantly will notice, for example, if you're a musician or a singer, they'll see actually the musical notes or perhaps see some of the lyrics that you sing in your aura. They can tell, for example, if you're a singer or an orator or a scholar. All of these things show up in your personal field. So think about it. What have you consistently imported energetically into your personal universe, your personal energy field? Think about it. We are 99.9 9/10% space. And a tiny, tiny little fraction of matter. That space is largely, in terms of the physical body, water. Your brain is almost entirely water. Your body is almost entirely water. So you have a highly malleable consistency that molds itself perfectly to outpicture the particular resonant field that you keep resonating, speaking, singing, declaring, and conversing about. You wear that. It colors you. Now, the good news is, if you have been repeating a mantra, if you've been initiated by John Roger in the movement of spiritual inner awareness, as I have been, if you have been given a spiritual tone, which is your own personal mantra to chant, then if you, like myself, have been faithfully chanting that for many years, you have colored and conditioned your personal universe to that vibratory frequency, so that you literally are swimming in the divine frequencies of the names of God that you've been repeating as a mantra. If you've been initiated into TM or one of the other practices and have been given a mantra, or if you have simply selected a mantra for yourself, it doesn't matter. All mantras come from God, whether they come from a teacher in the physical or they come to you in your inner guidance. The same thing. You chant that mantra and it becomes that energy which transforms you. The sound of the name of God absolutely transfigures and transforms you inside out. It will literally completely change your life. There is nothing more powerful than the name of the Lord. In fact, Sai Baba, the great avatar, Sai Baba, made quite a stunning statement. We were listening to him speak. This was during time that I spent with him in India. And he said that the devotee is even greater than the Lord. That was shocking to us. We wondered, well, you know, how could that possibly be? And Sai Baba replied, because with his or her devotion, the devotee can bind the Lord and make him a slave. And he went on to add that the Lord must assume the full welfare of one who is fully surrendered to him. He must carry their full burden. Now, maybe not so easy to be a real devotee, because he said you must surrender fully and completely to the Lord with no trace of ego. Well, it's pretty hard. Pretty hard task to do, but we all try our best. And the best thing that you can do is pick a name of the Lord, any name of the Lord that makes your heart sing, that appeals to you, that has that resonance of divine connection for you, and repeat it every day faithfully. Faithfully. Every day. Most of the sound current masters of the Sirat Shak Yoga lineage that I'm initiated into, most of them will suggest a minimum, underline minimum, of 15 minutes a day. So everyone can devote at least 15 minutes a day to repeating the name of the Lord. This is for rank beginners. Rank beginners. Those of us in the movement of spiritual inner awareness have been instructed to build up to 2 hours a day, in which, hopefully, you'll have 15 minutes of real devoted focus. So this is pretty much the template that most of the sound current masters utilize when they're teaching and guiding those of us that are practicing mantra meditation. And in mantra meditation, I lead you, usually at the closing of every seminar, I'll lead you to chant the Hu or the Nihu. These are really simple mantras that everyone can utilize. They're universal. They don't belong to any religious tradition. And they resonate the highest aspect of God, the absolute beyond creation. And so those are very, very good mantras that you can always use as your mantra if you choose. And you just sit down and you chant Hu or Anihu, whichever you prefer, or alternate. And you just listen to that sound within, and you watch for the light to appear in your third eye. Usually there's something that goes on. And you just stay with that. And then you listen for a while to the inner sound. And then you chant a little bit longer. And then you listen. So you alternate between listening and chanting. And you make a practice of that, ideally first thing in the morning. And you can have another session in the evening. And just practice that. Try it for a day, and try it for a few days, and try it for a week, and try it for a month. And note what happens inside your mind. Sai Baba has said that the name of the Lord will dissolve and consume like a holy fire mountains of sin or karma. It will actually eat it like little Pac-Man. So when you have a bad mood, or you're angry or upset or depressed or whatever, and you're not centered and you feel just totally discombobulated, instead of freaking out or blaming yourself or judging you or indulging this mood, sit down and chant. Chant any name of God, chant the Hu, chant the Ni-Hu, whatever, doesn't matter, pick something, and chant it out loud, you know, and then softer, and then bring it into silence. I think if you notice and rate your mood on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 to being totally out of you know, out of whack, and 1 being centered back in the divine, you'll find that your stress level is completely dissolved after a few minutes of that chanting. The anger is dissipated, the depression is lifted, whatever. So don't sit in those bad moods, but take the proactive stance that you can take and use the frequency of the divine name to clear those energies and to keep you cleared. For example, if you're facing somebody who's being obnoxious and let's say haranguing you or an irate boss or whatever, instead of reacting silently in your mind, chant the Hu or the Ni-Hu, or simply use the six magic words, I love you, God bless you, peace be still. Just repeat that in your mind silently. And watch how those frequencies completely began to dissolve the negativity. It's amazing. You can do that if you hear neighbors fighting. I love you. God bless you. Peace be still. You can just chant that. And in your own mind, in your own house, and I do this all the time, and you'll notice how the neighbors just ratchet down, 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 and pretty soon the argument is just dissipated. That's how you can be an energy worker and a sound healer all the time, on the workplace, wherever you are, whatever's going on. Don't let yourself get rattled and angry and entrained in negativity. Use that sound bath of the name of God to keep you cleared and attuned, and the little Pac-Man of sound frequency just eating up the garbage and the negativity and the bad moods and whatever. Now, the Lord must assume the full burden of your welfare when you completely rely on Him. I mean 100%, or you really don't have any backup plan. And if God doesn't show up, you don't eat, or whatever. I remember Heidi Baker from Iris Ministries. They have to depend on the Lord for every meal that they feed their hundreds and hundreds of orphan children that they have adopted in Mozambique. She said, if the Lord doesn't show up, we don't eat. But the Lord has never not shown up, and they've always eaten. And many times the food they have is multiplied, 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 until everyone is not only fed, but has enough to take home to their families that may not be at that particular gathering. But they rely 100% upon the Lord. And they've had miracle after miracle after miracle. That has come totally because they relied upon the Lord. So this is something that I encourage everyone to consider as your default setting. You know, we rely on everything else in the Western world, it seems, but the Lord. And it's because we haven't really been encouraged in the way that I am encouraging you right now. This isn't something you hear very many people talk about. But I have lived like that for about 30, 40 years now, 20 years or over 20 years now, 100% I would say. Because I don't have any backup plans at all, and the Lord has never not taken care of me. He has never not shown up. So this is something that works if you have the courage to work it. You got to go for it. You know, you can't be a lukewarm halfway person. You got to go full bore into this if you want to really see it work. So put the Lord to the test. You be faithful to doing your spiritual service, your daily mantra, your daily time with the Lord, your daily walk with the Lord, and see if He won't manifest in your life in a very, very definite way that you will not miss, because He knows how to get your attention. So the Lord, Sai Baba has really given us much insight into the nature and workings of the divine. For example, He said that the Lord and the Lord's name are inseparable. That whenever the name of the Lord, be any one of His gazillion names, is uttered or sung with devotion, that Lord that you're singing to must manifest His or her presence. They must. The name and the form manifest simultaneously. Now, those people who have had actually Jesus Christ or Sai Baba, one of the masters, take a tangible manifested form in front of them, Sai Baba said that is because their devotion has given form to the Lord. They are so living with that name and the thought of the Lord all the time that the Lord can step into that place that they have prepared for him or her. So the names and the forms of the Lord are endless. In highest truth, Baba said that your name and your form is also the name and form of the Beloved, the same God. There's only one Spirit that has taken all of these many forms. So when you speak of the Lord appears. And I think that is why we're told in the Ten Commandments to not take the name of the Lord in vain. For example, Jesus Christ as a frequency is the very name of the highest manifestation of God. It is the very sound frequency of grace and deliverance and healing and wholeness. Jesus as the living word is the pure manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so his name contains the full vibrational power of the absolute Godhead inherent in it. That's why it's very important that we don't use these divine names in vain, haphazardly, lightly, as a curse word, never. But that we handle the name as something extremely precious. And that name has that power regardless of whether he's called Isa, Ishwara, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, doesn't matter. All of those names, for example, the Lord is like the mother. The mother knows when her child is calling, regardless of whether that child calls her mom, or mommy, or ma, or ama, or mata. And the Lord is like that. He, she, it knows exactly when you are crying from your heart. And never, never, never is that heart cry ever ignored. So, there are many ways that you can attune to this practice of mantra and chanting and harmonic attunement. If you haven't already begun this, here are some suggestions. A simple one is to intone on one breath each of the vowels. A, A, E. I did them all together, but you can take your time and do each one and resonate those sounds deeply within you. They will tune all of your chakras and balance your energy field. And if you're a singer, it's a perfect vocal exercise to bring forth a strong, beautiful voice. Now, if you've been initiated by John Roger or by a teacher or have selected a mantra to repeat, you can chant your mantra. Usually, you chant it in your mind silently. But when you're alone, you could chant it out loud if you like. You can also sing your own name as a mantra. It can be your given name or your spiritual name or your star name. When I integrated the consciousness of Ashtar Athena, this was back in 1991, I used to chant, Ashtar Athena. I used to chant that over and over in my own mind to set my resonance and to come into more attunement with that new consciousness that I was embodying. So chant your spiritual name. Chant your star name, or chant your given name. Each given name has a deep and beautiful spiritual meaning to it. It would be good to find out what the meaning of your name is and chant it as a sacred mantra. You can also chant Om, which is the sound of creation. You can chant Hu, which is transcendental beyond creation, or Anihu, which brings it into the resonance of empathy and one accord between each of us. And then you can also chant or sing the name of your guru or master teacher. Many of us who are Sai Baba devotees chant Om Sai Ra. And that's a very beautiful mantra. Om Sai Ra. And Ashtar, or the name of one of the ascended masters, or one of the angelic hosts, like Mikael, or Gabriel, or Raphael. You can chant all of these. There are so many beautiful names that you can chant. When I was being taught to transmit and to attune to different members of the spiritual brotherhood, they would have me sit with a particular name and chant it for about 10 minutes, and then close my eyes and see if I could experience the energy of that particular teacher or master. And I was given an energy signature in different parts of my head so that I could tell which master was working with me, because I could discern their energy on a particular portion of my head. So you can do that. You can subdivide your whole body if you like. But the thing of it is, Sikpa sound and the divine names, and then pay attention to what you're experiencing. Some people see things inwardly. Some feel sensations on their body. Some people hear. You know, we're all wired to intake divine communion and contact in a specific way. So find your way and cozy in with it. Another thing that you can do is to sing out the letters one at a time for a quality that you would like to increase in your life. You can try it in Sanskrit if you know Sanskrit or Hebrew, and of course in English. So you could sing, for example, joy, and the Sanskrit for joy would be ananda. And then you have love. Sanskrit is prema. And then you have peace. The Sanskrit is shanti. Just, you know, bring in those qualities to singing the letters. Divine love, soul travel, liberation, mukti. You know, use your imagination and create for yourself beautiful experiences. The other is to sing devotional songs, whether they're praise and worship in the Christian modality, or bhajans, which would be the singing of the names of the Lord and the attributes of God in Sanskrit or Hindi or the different languages. Or you could do Sankirtan, which is more the repetition. For example, the Hare Krishna mantra would be Sankirtan. And many of the Sikh chants are what would be described as Sankirtan. Experiment. The Tibetan and the, I think probably the Vedic and the Tibetan cultures specifically have deeply explored and emphasized the science of sound and mantra, sacred mandalas, and geometric shapes, which would be called yantra, and tantra, which is the relationship between invocation, as the case of sound and mantra, evocation, which is that which is called forth into some sacred geometric form, and manifestation, which would then flow in based on the intention of whatever it is that you are invoking and evoking. And this comprises, I believe, one of the deepest esoteric teachings that is usually given, but it's given only to disciples after they've attained a level of purification of their mind and emotions and soul integration. And the reason is obvious, because you're dealing with literally the power of creation itself. So, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is a statement from the Beatitudes of Jesus that is literally true. The purer the heart, the more you will see the good, the holy, and the divine in yourself and others. And that's how you can tell when the heart is pure. So to such a heart, the secrets of the universe are revealed. And our job is to come into harmonic resonance with the divine name and allow ourselves to be filled that frequency of divine love. Because awareness and the divine name and living love are actually the same vibration, because God is love, so they're the same identical vibration. The many forms of the Lord are like molds that the formless love has been poured into. And that's what our physical vessel is designed to contain as well. Only pure divine love. Divine love created us like itself, out of itself, of pure love, and designed us to radiate divine love. And that's our mission in coming to Earth, or any planet that we may find ourselves on, at least within this universe, which is the love-wisdom universe. So we're here to import and manifest divine love through our human forms. Sai Baba also told us one time that really a devotee should only ask for more devotion and for deeper and more inclusive love. That should be really our prayer to God. And such selfless prayers cause the Lord to extend grace. And when you have that grace, everything else is added to you automatically. You don't even have to think about it. And when you are in a state of unconditional loving, you are living in a state of grace. So the easiest way to quicken and raise your consciousness into a state of loving devotion and grace is to pray. Have communion with God. I like to sit and have my morning coffee and tell God, well, very often I'll just express the things that I'm really appreciative of and grateful for and thankful for that He's been doing in my life recently, or on the planet, or in the lives of my loved ones, or, you know, it could be almost anything. You just have a heart-to-heart chat. And then you sit and, you know, if you have anything you want to ask Him in particular, you can ask Him. You'll hear His voice inwardly, seems like your thoughts, but He will drop the perfect answer into your mind, and you just write it down if you want. You can do that. Or you can just chat. Or you can sing and chant. But it's really nice just to hang out and fellowship with the Beloved. That's really, really sweet. So I would add that to your prayer and your chat time with the Lord. And whatever you do, whether it's singing or chanting or praying, try to not make it a rote thing where you're reading out of a book or something, but just talk from your heart with, you know, with sincere devotion. And that simple practice will bring every possible blessing in its wake. That I can absolutely promise you, because as I've said, I've been doing this for many, many years, and it's just become, you know, the bedrock of my life. So the simple prayer, "I love you, Lord, with all my heart," is probably the sweetest prayer you could ever utter when you really mean it. When you really mean it. And pray that you have that love increase so that you do really mean it. So the divine name dissolves all negative states of consciousness. It also will end your problems. Say, for example, you're really worried about a court trial coming up, or a custody hearing, or a divorce settlement, or someone coming to visit that you don't get along with, or whatever. It just doesn't matter what the upset is. Instead of thinking about your problem, put your problem before the Lord and sit and repeat your mantra and the divine name. And just see that situation bathed, drenched, dripping with the nectar and sweetness of the divine name. And watch how the situation just kind of dissolves into a very peaceful denouement. It just kind of resolves itself. Father said never to think of your problems when you have a problem, but instead repeat the name of the Lord and allow the Lord to resolve that situation for you. You know, we're just too busy trying to get into our own way and fix things when we don't have the ability to fix some of the messes that we've got ourselves into. We really don't. We have to turn to that higher power, that something greater, to bridge our personal inadequacies, which is done through grace. So chanting and singing to the Lord with devotion regularly will transform your entire life. You'll eventually find that you have literally become the embodiment of your mantra. It's said that the Lord Hanuman, the greatest devotee of Lord Rama, who was a monkey, by the way, that every hair on his body would be heard chanting Ramana, the name of Rama. So when you chant, eventually you'll discover that the mantra starts to chant you. And it's in your consciousness, whether you're thinking about it or not consciously, that mantra is the background of your life. And you're literally living in this aura, in this sound bath of the sacred name and presence of the Lord. Because wherever the Lord is, his name has been uttered. Wherever the name is uttered, the Lord must manifest his presence or her presence. So, there you have it. Sing the name of the Lord. Chant the name of the Lord. Be bathed in the name of the Lord. Be the name of the Lord. Be the beloved. You are the one beloved. So I hope this has been helpful to you. It's always such a joy for me to bring these, I think, very beautiful transmissions through. They come from the heart of the one beloved, and they go to the one beloved, each one of you, as a precious gift from the heart of all love. So let's go out chanting, Anai, you. Deep breath. Ah. beloved Lord God, of our innermost being, we consecrate our lives as a sacred song that speaks of our love to you who indwell in the hearts of all beings. Baruch Hashem Adonai.